Hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. Thank you, Jake. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Can I just hear an amen this morning? Yeah. It's always good to come hang out. Good to come and worship. How about that worship team, y'all? I mean, they got a good mix going on this morning. So glad you're here, man. We are gonna we're going to continue this week in our summer series. Our summer series has been entitled Summer in Psalms. And so it's just cool, man. I hope you're reading along, and I hope that you are looking and reading in the book of Psalm. Man, it's just been so cool, because when Cole and I decided to do this, we started out a few weeks ago, and I told Cole, I said, no particular order. Just read the psalm. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. How many of you know when you really have some good intentions and you carve out some time and you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you? And so it's just been cool how we've just went from this psalm to this psalm, and we skipped 20 or 30 chapters, and how the Lord just intertwines it all together and makes it all work together. And so I hope you've been reading along in the book of Psalms. Today we're going to be in Psalm 81. So if you got your phone, you got your iPad, it's going to be on the screen today. It's a good opportunity for you to take some notes, write it down, and you can go over it when you get home tonight. We're going to read Psalm 81. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. I'm going to pray first, and then we will break it down and see what the Lord is challenging us with. So if you would, bow your heads. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for the life that you have given us to live. Thank you for the country that you've given us to live in. Thank you for the town, this rural living. Lord, thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Most of all, thank you for your Son who redeemed us and forgave us and gave us new life. So, Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. Holy Spirit, you know that we come from different backgrounds, different ages, and different stages in life. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray you would take these words today and tailor make them for individual people and for families across all ages. Lord, speak to us. Let this word be real. Let it be relevant. Let us leave here challenged today. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Psalm 81, starting in verse number 6, the scripture says this: I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. If you would but listen to me. I want to talk to you about two different things today. We're going to go on down and read some more in Psalm 81 in a little bit. But I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk to you about burdens that we carry. And then I want to talk to you after that about learning to listen a little bit differently than we listen all the time. I want to talk to you about burdens we carry, and I want to talk to you about learning to listen. I'm getting ahead of myself, but how many of you believe this? Our lives would be better if we could learn to listen a little bit better. We're really good at talking. We're really good at sharing our opinions. We're really good at saying what is on our heart. But I think the scripture is teaching us God gave us one mouth and two ears, which means we should listen twice as much as we speak. I think we can all agree. Let's go back. Let's start out on the burdens part. I think we can all agree that oftentimes in life, we carry heavy burdens and heavy loads. The scripture says that God says that he freed our hands from the basket. Now, just think about with me and picture in your mind if you had this huge basket in your hand and you have these heavy burdens, and everything that you're doing and every day and every moment of your life, you're carrying around these burdens. I'm carrying around these burdens. Everything I'm doing is focused on carrying this because it's heavy. Just think in your mind, if you are carrying heavy burdens, you cannot reach out and give your spouse a proper hug. You can't reach out and give your children a proper hug. You can't raise your hands and praise God, nor can you clap to give God worship, because we are so focused on carrying this heavy burden around. I wonder if there's any people in this place today who came in carrying a heavy burden. It is weighing you down. It is in your mind. It is in your heart. It is affecting your relationships. The heavy burden that we have is wearing us out. And can I just say this? Can I be real with y'all today, second service? Some of us have carried those burdens around for so long that it has become our identity, and we like carrying it around. Because we carry it around because we can whine about what happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or what happened 50 years ago when we were a child. We've just learned to carry these burdens and throw them on our shoulder, and that's all we know in life anymore. How many of you know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed? And we're about to talk about some things that God intends for us to carry that would make us stronger and make us better, but we're also going to talk about some things that God did not intend for us to carry. And the things that God didn't intend for us to carry, they weaken us. They weaken us. And so here's the deal. Our human nature tells us, I got to carry more. I got to do more. I got to work more. I got to exhaust myself more. I got to focus on this, and I got to focus on that, and I got to focus on this. And we're so busy. Human nature tells us we have to carry more things. Our minds tell us, if I could just do a little more, they would love me a little better. If I could just do a little more, God would have his favor turned towards me a little bit more. Our human nature, our minds cause us to carry more. Culture, the world we live in, tells us if you could just carry more, if you could just do more, your life would be more valuable. We got to be careful what we carry. We got to be careful what we carry, because God created us to carry some things that make us stronger, and God carried us some things that will only make us weaker and stop us in our tracks. Let's first talk about the things that God has called us to carry. You know what God has called you and I to carry? Responsibility. How many of you know it's time that our world wakes up and starts carrying their responsibilities a little bit more better? More better. That's good grammar. We're homeschooling, in case you were questioning, wondered, you know, if my kids talk the way they talk, it's my fault, not my wife's. We should carry our responsibility. Do you understand that we have a responsibility as children of God? I am taken back at myself and at sometimes the body of Christ. We have no responsibility about how we carry the gospel and share the good news with people outside of church. We think we can live this way and do this and do what we want to do and live out our flesh. We have a responsibility. We have been born again. We have been bought with a price. Our salvation may have not cost you or me anything, but it cost Jesus a whole lot. And after all that he's done for us, and after all that he has forgiven us of, shouldn't we carry a sense of responsibility and say, I am a child of the Most High God, and I'm going to represent God in a good and a holy way? Responsibility, carry that responsibility. I have a responsibility to be a husband to my wife, which how many of you husbands would agree? That's hard sometimes. I have a responsibility as the spiritual leader of my home, according to the word of God, to love my wife well and to lead my wife well. I have three children. How many of you love your children? Say a good amen. Hey, well, okay, we'll just keep rolling there. Children, man, children, can I just be real with you? Children are dumb. Come on, somebody. Like, they're not born knowing everything. They are learning. They are growing. They are gathering information. And it is a responsibility that I have to raise my children and to teach them the word of God and to show them how to work and to show them how to be respectful. It's a responsibility. And when I hold up my responsibilities, it makes me stronger. I have a responsibility as a pastor. I have to study hard. I'm not the greatest learner. I'm not the most intellectual guy that there is. I have to work really hard to read the word of God, because I have a responsibility. Because you show up here on Sunday, and by you showing up, you say, I trust what you say, Cody. I have to make sure that I am preaching the true, authentic word of God. And that responsibility drives me back to the word of God. We would be better if we started carrying our responsibility in a greater way. We have to carry this. This is old school preaching. Can I preach old school to y'all a little bit? You know what makes us stronger that we're called to carry? Holiness. Holiness. We don't preach holiness anymore because it offends us, because we have somehow bought the lie that we can live how we want to live and do what we want to do and follow our flesh and follow the culture, and God is okay with it. He will forgive us because he's a good God and he's full of grace. Yes, God is full of grace, but after he has poured out his grace to you and I, the scripture says this: be ye holy because God is holy. And the more that I want to live in holiness, the stronger it makes me. It makes me want to cuss a little bit less. Come on, somebody. It makes me want to not give in to my fleshly desires a little bit more. It makes me not want to lose my temper. I want to live as a reflection of God. And the more that I try to be holy, the stronger that it makes me. Our responsibility, our holiness, our excellence. We do so many things with excellence these days. Excellence on our job, excellence in our finances, excellence in every area of our life. We should want to serve God with excellence. Not half-heartedly, not just a day or two of the week, but every day. And as I strive for excellence, that means giving God our best. How many of you know God gave us his best? Why shouldn't we want to give him our best back? And the more I want to serve with excellence, the stronger it makes me. Let me go. I could preach all day on this. What about this? What about we're supposed to carry self-discipline. Self-discipline. The more that I discipline myself, the stronger that it makes me. The more that I say no to my flesh, the more that I say no to the ways of the previous generation, the more I say no to the ways of this world, the stronger it makes me to say yes to God. And some of you need to know this, because we all have excuses and we all justify why we do what we do and why we live the way that we live. We have self-discipline. The Bible says this: God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. You and I need to know that we possess the discipline that we need to say yes to God and no to everything else. And the more I exercise self-discipline, the stronger that I get. Those are things that you and I should carry, that we should focus on the very most. But now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, and let's get down to the nut-cutting. Let's get down to the things that weaken us and destroy us that the biggest majority of us carry around. We carry around this basket of comparison. We compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves to the previous generation. We look and we compare all the time. We have got to stop the comparison game, because comparison will wear us out and weigh us down and stop us in our tracks. Can I tell you that every single one of us in here today, the Lord knows how many hairs are on top of your head. The Lord created you with a fingerprint that is authentic to just you. When you know what? When before we were in our mother's womb, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord formed us and knitted us together, and you are the perfect you. Stop comparing you to someone else. Stop comparing you to someone else. Can I tell you, we sing songs about the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Shout yes. Can I tell you what the blood of Jesus Christ does for the body of Christ? It brings equality to all of us. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. So no matter how good your past is or how many good choices you've made previously, I want you to know that we are all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. Some people have committed a few sins. Me and Cole, we've committed lots of sins. Come on, somebody. But here's the deal. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you've been forgiven of 500 sins or 5,000 sins, the blood brings equality to the body of Christ. And the only value that you and I have is the precious crimson flow from the cross of Calvary Hill. And it makes us all absolutely the same. And the moment that we can drop the comparison thing, say, you know what? Darren can't sing like Connor can sing, but Connor can't sing like Darren can sing. And you know what? Cole can't preach like Cody can preach. But Cody can't preach like Cole can preach. And as soon as we drop the comparison game, we are set free to live a life that would bring glory to God. Stop carrying the comparison thing. Stop carrying this around that you have to seek people's approval all the time. I mean, I'm trying to do this, and when I'm here, I act this way, and when I'm here, I act that way, and I say these things because I want people to approve me, and I want people to love me, and I want people to like me. Listen, you're never going to, there's nobody in this place that everybody is going to approve of what you do. Some people are never going to like you. And I've learned to be okay with that. And you got to learn to be okay with it. Stop that. Let's preach a little more. What about this one? We're carrying around our pride. Come on, men. How many know that pride can get heavy? Come on, men. How many know that pride? You girls, too. We pride for women. Woo, Lord Jesus, help us all. Pride gets heavy. I can handle this. I've got this. I'm strong enough. I'm man enough. My daddy told me to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I got enough. It gets heavy and it wears us out, man. Listen, you got to drop that pride and resentment. Let's talk about resentment. You know what resentment is? It's old wounds that we won't let heal. So many of us are carrying around old wounds and we won't let them heal. Now, let's just be honest or real. How many of you have ever cut your arm or cut your leg and you've got this wound, and when it starts scabbing over, you just have this itch? Scratch the scab off. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't leave me hanging up here today. We just got to pick at it. We just got to pick at it all the time. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ, you are carrying around old wounds. You will not let it go. You have whined. You have complained. You have used it as a means of justification for years and years and years. And I know that it hurt, and I know that it didn't seem fair, but the only reason that it won't heal is because we won't leave it alone. We got to quit carrying that around. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Let's go a little further. What about this one? Shame. Anybody, don't raise your hand, just like ever felt the weight of shame? One of the heaviest things that you and I can carry, and I'll be real with you, men usually carry pride. Lots of women carry shame. It's the way God has made us. We made this mistake. We didn't do this right. We shouldn't have done that. And lots of women, even some men, carry the shame. We're unworthy. We're guilty. We have this condemnation. I'm never going to overcome that. Shame is something that Jesus died for to redeem us and pay. So why would we want to continue to carry that thing around? Fear. What about fear? Fear, we carry around fear. You're worried. You're fearful. Fearful of tomorrow. Fearful of your relationships. Fearful of the economy. Fearful of the elections that are coming up. Fearful of the war that's going on in Iran. We're fearful of this. We're so much fear. Did you know that Jennifer shared this with me a long time ago? Because she, I'll be honest, I can say that she struggles with fear, and she's better than she used to be. But in the Bible, there are 365 times that it says, "Thou shalt not fear." And I just thought that was cool because that's one time for every day of the year. God doesn't want us walking in fear. One more and I'll move on. Y'all are ready, right? Can I hear you say a good amen? Perfection. We think we got to be perfect. We carry, perfection is bondage because you are not perfect and I am not perfect. We are not always going to be our very best. And when you are carrying around perfection, it will shackle you. There is a difference in excellence and perfection. Perfection means I never can make a mistake. I've always got to get it right. And that shackles us and keeps us in bondage. But when we say, no, I am choosing excellence over perfection, excellence says I give God my very best. And that frees us up. Here's what I say. This is some burdens strengthen our back. Others break our back. And wisdom is knowing the difference. Wisdom is knowing what I should be carrying and what I shouldn't be carrying. Even Jesus addressed this issue when he walked on the earth. Even Jesus saw this. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know there's an opportunity for every one of us in here today? There's an opportunity to come to Jesus and to cast our cares on him and take off the yoke and get rid of the basket, put on the yoke of Jesus Christ, because the yoke of Jesus Christ is easy and that burden is light. And you and I have the opportunity to choose the same way he chose. What is God asking you to pick up? Some of us need to up our responsibility game. Some of us need to up our responsibility game. Some of us need to up our holiness game. Some of us need to up our self-control. But the other question is this: what is God asking you and I to lay down today? Some of us need to lay down perfection. We need to lay down comparison, lay down pride, resentment, lay down that shame and that fear. What is God asking you and me to pick up? What is God asking you and me to lay down? The next last part of the sermon today, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about listening in a different way. Learning to listen better. I'm going to read Psalm 81:8, and I'm going to read Psalm 81:13. Psalm 81:8 says, "Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me." God says, if you just listen. Psalm 81:13, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." I think God is screaming to you and I, would you just listen to me? How many of you have got your children by the shoulders and said, would you just listen to me? Just listen to me. God's saying, just listen. And I love that word, listen. You know me, I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not the guy that dissects all these words in Hebrew and Greek, but I just found it very interesting that word listen, it comes from a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word for listen is shema. Everybody say shema. Cody, now tell me, what does shema mean? Shema means more than hearing words. It's listening. How many of you know we can hear and not really be listening? Shema is to listen. It's to listen to God, not just to hear God, but to listen with the intent to obey. I'm listening with the intent to obey. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Imagine most of you are like me. I want to gain some wisdom in the future. I don't want to keep making the same dumb choices and dumb mistakes and dumb screw-ups. I want to gain some wisdom. I want to be better. And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest guy ever, said, if we would stop and listen to what God is saying, listen to what people in our lives that we value is saying, and if we would accept that instruction, our future would be filled with wisdom. Listen. Listen. I'm going to confess something to y'all today. Y'all ready for this? I got to start listening to my wife a little bit more. That hurt. That didn't hurt nearly as bad as she's got to start listening to me a little bit more. Because my wife sees things from a different perspective. I see things from a different perspective. Our marriage is God ordained. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They shall be a partner. I need her feminine side. She needs my strong side. We need each other. We have staff at the church. I need to listen to them better and understand and accept some things that maybe don't feel good to me and that I'm not used to. As we listen to our parents, students, as we listen to our moms and dads, it just would change everything if we'd learn to listen and accept some instruction. Some of you suckers need to accept some instruction. Just saying, I do too. Wisdom. Wisdom begins with listening, not speaking. Wisdom begins with listening. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. How many of you have ever been in a conversation with someone, and before they get their entire sentence out of their mouth, we jump back and cut them off and answer. And they go, well, if you just let me finish, I'll explain the rest of it to you, because that's not really what I was even talking about. We got to stop. We got to listen. Listen to what people are saying, because here's what I believe with all of my heart. Most of us listen to respond. Wise people listen to understand. Most people listen to respond, to share our opinions, to share our ideas, to share our knowledge, rather than just listening to understand. I wonder if our marriages would be better. I wonder if our families would be stronger. I wonder if our friend groups would be better if we listened to understand the other side of the story rather than speaking our own opinions. Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands gain guidance. Wow, the wiser a person becomes, the more they listen and the more they learn. The wiser a person becomes, the more they listen and learn. And one more scripture, Ecclesiastes 5:1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. How many love the house of God? Shout yes. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. God says it's more important to draw close to Him to listen than to offer up all the sacrifice of praise to put money in the place. God says just listen. Shema. Listen, not to hear, but listen with the intent to obey. Now let's talk about something rather quickly here for a minute. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? For 26 years of being pastor, people ask me all the time, how do I know? How do I hear the voice of God? And I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week who took time out and called me and said, I want to choose silence. I want to be quiet, but how do I know? How does God speak to me? So let's talk about that a minute. Primarily, God speaks to us through His Word. How do you and I expect to hear from God if we don't spend time in the Word of God? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And you know what? If we'll just take time out and read the Word of God, we will hear God speaking to us. Listen, God also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and moves in our mind. We have this inner voice that moves our spirit and moves our heart. And when the Holy Spirit's not always just going to be a booming voice to you and I, but the Holy Spirit is intimate with us. And when we have a situation that we're facing, a decision to make, when we feel that uneasiness and when we feel like I shouldn't be doing this, that is the Holy Spirit. And when God is asking us to take advantage of an opportunity and we feel this inner peace, that's how we know it's the Spirit, because the Spirit lives inside of us. Listen to the Word. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to godly people in your life. Listen to your preacher. Listen to godly people, circumstances, indifferent failures and successes. God speaks to us. Shema. Listen to God. Listen to His voice with the intent to obey. I mean, that's good, y'all. Some of us listen just to listen because we know we need to listen. And Mama said we need to listen. Some of us listen so that we can gain wisdom and knowledge and we can talk about that to other people. Some of us really are hearing, but we're not listening. But when I listen to God, when I get rid of my burdens, when I'm living in the freedom and I realize what God has done for me, now I'm not just hearing, I'm listening to you, God. And whatever you're asking me to do, whether it be comfortable, whether it be uncomfortable, God, I trust you and I'm going to do what you, I'm going to listen with the intent to be obedient. It will be a game changer for you and I. Listen, hear the Lord. There's a prayer. I'll close with this. There's a prayer that the Jews pray 3 times a day. How many know Jesus is King of the Jews? God's chosen people. Here's what they pray three times a day. They have for years prayed it three times a day religiously. Pray it morning, evening, and at bedtime. And it's known as this, the Shema Yisrael. It's known as the Shema prayer. And the Shema prayer can be found in Scripture. Remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about the power of praying Scripture? Here's what the Jews do three times a day. And they're saying, I'm praying this, and I'm listening with the intent to obey. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel. That word here, Shema. Listen with intent to obey, Israel. Listen with intent to obey. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. They say, Shema, Yisrael, I am praying, Lord, let me hear with the intentions of being obedient. I will raise my children. I will talk about God in my house. When I sit down, when I rise up, I'm going to have a banner over the door of my house going in. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to have a banner over my door as I go out, reminding me to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and all of my strength. I wonder if you and I started praying three times a day, let me listen so I can live an obedient life. I wonder what that would do to bring revival to our life and to our spirits and to our hearts. Darren and worship team, would y'all come help me close? Listen with the intent to obey. Shema. So here's the bottom line today. As we close it out, here's the bottom line. Carry things that God is asking us to carry. And carry them well. Carry your responsibility well. Carry your holiness well. Carry your leadership well. Carry it and carry it well, knowing that it will make you stronger and make you a better person. But look at me. Look. Lay down the things that you were never meant to carry. Lay it down. Lay down comparison. Lay down shame. Lay down resentment. Lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. It's never meant for you to carry. Lay them down and don't pick them back up. Trust the blood of Jesus Christ. Trust the blood to forgive and cleanse and heal. And then lastly, once we are set free, come on somebody, once we drop that basket and we're set free, we're walking in that responsibility and that holiness. How many know at that point, we're prime to hear God's voice and be obedient to what he's asking us to do. It will change everything for you and I today. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to close our service today by celebrating Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. There is no greater day, no greater opportunity than today when we're talking about laying things down, laying them down. Because there's nothing that can take it away like the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. He shed it. He hung. Shed the blood to take it all away. Paid in full. You know what it does when we get saved? Can I tell you right quick what it does when we get saved? The blood takes all of our sins, all of our mistakes, all of our hurts, all of our pains, and removes them from us and throws them in the sea of forgiveness. And you know what God does next? He posts up a sign that says, no fishing. So today, the things you're carrying that you're not intended to carry, would you trust the blood and would you allow the Lord to take them away? Would you release them and let him throw them in that sea? And then would you stand by the commandment, I'm not going fishing in there anymore. It's the whole thing. It's the broken body and the blood of Jesus. And then we're saying, man, I'm listening to you now, Lord. I'm set free and I'm listening to you. And I'm listening to you with the intent to obey. Broken body of Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The complete picture and the complete foundation of our faith. Today we're going to celebrate communion. We invite you, if you're here and you're a child of God, you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have ever even attended here before. But if you're a born-again believer, washed in the blood, adopted in the family of God, you are welcome to come to the table and receive today. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. So I would challenge you, remember what Christ has done for you. Live in that freedom. And then walk out of here going, after all of that, I'll listen to you and I'll be obedient. The way it works here is you're going to come down. Guys that are going to serve communion, the teams that are going to serve, if you'd make your way down here, prepare the elements. If you're sitting on the outside two rows, I'm going to ask you if you'll start at the very back, come down the outside wall. There's two teams that will serve you there. If you're sitting in the middle, I'm going to ask you to start at the back and come right down this middle aisle. Cole and I will serve you here. What'll happen is somebody will break off a piece of bread and they'll hand you a piece of bread and they'll say, the body of Christ broken for you. You'll step over to the guy holding the cup and they'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you, and you dunk your bread in there and then you partake. Remember at that moment. Now listen to me, because we want you to celebrate. If your bread breaks off in the wine, don't sweat it. Just step back and we'll hand you another piece of bread. We want everyone in here today to be able to partake, and we want the Lord to speak to your heart. So if you would, stand on your feet. I'm going to pray and then we'll start at the back as soon as I say amen and we'll celebrate. Father, we thank you today for the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, reveal to us the power of the redemptive work of Jesus. Reveal to us in a new way and a fresh way what it meant that your body was broken and wounded so that we could have peace and that we could have redemption and we could walk in freedom. Remind us today of the blood of Christ and the power of Christ and how it forgives and cleanses and changes and makes new. Lord, let us remember who you are. Let us remember what you've done in our lives, and in that moment, let it be a catalyst that says, now, Lord, I'm living in freedom, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to be obedient. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, as we close with communion today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I'm going to ask you